Almighty God, grant that the words we hear in our outward ears we may take into our lives, and help us to live in a way that your presence is shown through us, all to your greater honor. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The verse for today from the very last verse of Luke 9. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, as you know, we've been doing a sermon series on discipleship, about practical ways, about how you and I can live as followers of Jesus Christ. It started at the beginning of May, on the theme of discipleship. I'm going to ask you what were some of the themes. And if you struggle for that, don't feel badly, because the 9 o'clock only got one. But nonetheless, I would like to think that it's kind of stuck in. So what were you been talking about over the past year? Bible is what last week? Hospitality, that's right. Absolutely, that was another one. Nice and loud, please. Money, that's right. Something said over here. Yep, money, there's three. You've already tripled them. Good for you. Gifts, that's right. What gifts, that is to say, what God gifts God has given us to share and to offer. Absolutely, that's right. And then there was that one, Marie did a workshop on prayer, and then the next day she talked about prayer. That's right, that's another one. Let me see, social justice, the sacraments. And there we've covered it. On the 12th, we talked about the Trinity. And the point of this collectively is to help equip you about how to live in a way which is best for all of us. Today it's going to conclude. And just have some fun, I thought that I would present today's theme as a kind of riddle and invite you to see if you can guess it. Some fear it, some love it, you're all here because of it. What is it? Some fear it, some love it, we're all here because of it. What is it? Yes, that's right. Passing on our faith, sharing it. Well done, Andrea. That's right. Some people fear it. They're terrified to talk about their faith. And some people love it. Whenever you and I have the privilege of enabling someone to know the depth of the Lord Jesus' love, it is a privilege beyond words. Years ago, I remember a young college student, and in her own clumsy and loving way, she helped a classmate be drawn into Christ's love and the fellowship of his church. And that I remember that student said, she said, if I've done nothing else in my life will have been worth it. And tragically, a few weeks later, young woman died in a riding accident. And yet, she knew her life had been worthwhile. If we have the privilege of helping someone awaken to faith, awaken to Christ, it is an amazing and humbling privilege. So some people fear it, some people love it, we're all here because of it. That is, we are all here because someone loved us enough and someone loved God enough that they wanted to introduce us to faith in Christ for ourselves. Maybe it was our parents. Maybe it was our grandparents. Maybe it was a friend. What matters is that we choose to accept this gracious invitation and dare to undertake this amazing journey for ourselves. What I would like to do today is to take away all the clutter, all the baggage, all the preconceptions that so many of us carry, which makes us think, I could never talk to someone about my faith. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Pope. I'm not the Archbishop of Canterbury. No. None of us here is. But God often uses ordinary people like you and like me for his glory and to accomplish his purposes. This is meant to be, by the way, a picture of just an ordinary group of folks. When you and I are in cooperation with God, wonderful things follow. So, how do we do this? Well, I want to ask you first, are we humbly confident in our own faith before God? Do we know that we're forgiven? That we're loved? That Christ's Spirit dwells in us? That we belong to the community of the church family? I'm not asking if we're all perfect. I'm not asking if we've never sinned or never will sin. But rather, I want us to be in a place that we know that we belong to Christ and His Spirit dwells in us. Our confidence is not in our own cleverness. Our confidence is in this amazing God who loves you and me more than we can ever say. Today's gospel reading is from the end of Luke chapter 9. And the Lord Jesus makes it clear that he wants wholehearted disciples. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62. And I don't know if you've ever helped out plowing a field, or if you've maybe in a long garden row, or watched a farmer, but if they look back as they're plowing, the overturned sod gets wobbly. The farmer has to look ahead to where they want to go to get a straight, even row. And in the same way, God doesn't want us to be devout Christians on Sunday morning, but then not live out our faith the rest of the week. Rather, he wants joyous, confident friends. Well, let's take another example. Do you remember the story back at the very beginning of the Bible of Lot's wife? Now, she'd left the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were under God's judgment. But then she kind of peeked back over her shoulder. Somehow the old life, as bad as it was sort of attractive to her. And she hesitated about leaving it behind. But justice was evidently swift in those days. She turned into a pillar of salt. The point is, don't be wishy-washy. Don't be half a Christian. Let's live wholly for Christ. And the same thing we share our prayers. Please don't be wishy-washy about it. Please don't say, maybe you could come to church with me sometime. Instead say, are you free this coming Sunday? Don't say, maybe God might help. But rather, can I speak with you about what my faith means to me? We can speak with love and in humble confidence. Now, if people say no, then of course we respect that. That is true in our day. It was true in the Lord's day. Not everyone chooses to accept the invitation. Also in today's gospel reading, it's clear that the disciples have been sent on ahead to prepare the way for Jesus' coming. And they met people who are not responsive to the invitation. And those disciples were really angry, weren't they? They wanted God to kind of send down fire, kind of burn them up. Because they were sort of irked. But Jesus rebukes his friends. give people space to say no? Or just to let them explore it on their own if they aren't ready? And let's not be judgmental. We can be confident that we have some good news. And we need to be prepared to say, to explain, why do I go to church, or why do we follow Christ? And I suggest if we can't say it in a very short period of time, say 15 seconds, or if we can't say it without stumbling, then practice until we can. We just want to be explained very simply why this is important, in the event that we have the opportunity to say. Now, if you're getting the idea that I believe that all of us can speak out words of warmth and invitation, then that's true. I believe we all can. But as well as having the faith and confidence to speak with someone who is open to speaking with us about Jesus Christ, I also encourage us to model the Christian life well. To model the Christian life well. Following Christ is not just intellectually assenting to the creed, important as that is, and it's not just about saying the right word, although I encourage us to talk as well. The Christian life is also modeled. Years ago, if someone was learning a trade, say, learning how to shoe a horse, they would come alongside someone who was more experienced, and they would be mentored about how to do it. It wasn't just saying the right words about horses. It wasn't just believing certain facts about horses as they worked alongside experienced farrier. It was a pattern, a way of life that developed over years. In the same way, we need to model how we show practical love to broken people, or practical love to people who are just starting this journey on their own. This is not loving instead of talking, but it is doing along with talking. And God knows that I have a long way to go. But as much as I can, with God's help, I try to model what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And my hope is that you will correct me when I err, that you'll love me enough to tell me so, that you'll pray for me, and when I get it right, you'll copy me or learn to come alongside, especially with children, but even with adults. We often learn by practice, by trying out these gifts of ministry and seeing how it goes. We have such good news to share. And in our contemporary world, where there is so much ignorance, what it means to belong to Christ, or what it means to belong to the fellowship of His church, it can be easy for us to be hesitant, or it can be even easier to be silent. But I warmly encourage you, invite you, to dare to speak out, to invite, to model. And don't be put off by the occasional rejection. That's sure to come. But at the same time, there will be positive responses. It is our privilege and our joy. Amen.